Matt Williamson and Ryan McDowell.
Hello and welcome back to another edition of the Dynasty Blueprint. I'm your host, Ryan McDowell. I'm joined tonight by Matt Williamson. Matt, how are you doing?
What's up, man? How's it going, dude? Everything going well?
Yep, going well. Just ready to dig into some more Dynasty conversation.
Absolutely.
We are privileged to be joined tonight by one of my good friends, one of my my biggest Dynasty influences, Mr. Jeff Tiefertiller, staff writer at Football Guys. Jeff, how's it going?
Awesome, and I think you may give me too much credit, but I enjoyed the conversation.
Yeah, I think Jeff has probably been at Football Guys for, I don't know, close to 10 years now, Jeff, is that right?
Started in 07.
Yeah, getting close. We've been playing in leagues against each other since about that same time, and definitely one of the guys I respect the most in this hobby of ours. So, and really, to me, one of the guys, and Jeff, I know we've had these conversations all the time in the past 10 years or so, but you were really the one who hit home the importance of player value for me, and kind of just not only the importance of understanding that value, but how to manipulate that to build the best dynasty rosters that's possible. So thank you for that, and I think that makes you the perfect guest for our topic tonight.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to this.
So over at DLF, Dynasty League Football, where you can find my work, we have just released our February ADP data. That's the average draft position data, and I've talked about this before, but again, that's the average of six different mock drafts that we put together. And it just helps Dynasty owners, especially this time of year when people are starting to form new leagues and really assess their teams in their existing leagues, helps them to get a good hold on what the current value of each player is. And tonight we're going to be looking at a few players that each of us consider overvalued and undervalued based on that Dynasty ADP.
Hey, Ryan, but can I stop you real quick? I just want to run something by you, and we haven't talked about this off the air, but is this something you guys do once a month? Does this information come out?
Yeah, it's once a month during the off season, and we'll hit it a couple times during the season as well.
Okay.
So altogether, we probably have about 10 months of data per year, and it is monthly because, you know, these are Dynasty startup drafts, and for our listeners that maybe haven't been involved in one of those, I know Matt's done just one. Most of those drafts take at least 2 weeks. You know, there's 20 to 25 rounds, sometimes even more than that. They use what's called a slow clock, meaning most teams have as much as 6, 8, 12 hours to make their pick. Hopefully most guys don't take that long, but it is sometimes a long-running event. So our mock drafts take usually between 1 to 2 weeks to complete, and then we get that data on the site as quickly as we can.
Okay, cool. So maybe it wouldn't be a bad idea for you and I and whoever we have on the show to react to these every month. You know, I mean, there is a lot of change this time of year. And I guess my one question, too, is for somebody that really spikes, Marshawn Lynch, Calvin Johnson, Heath Miller, or if someone's value just goes crazy, I mean, Golden Tate because Calvin retired, will that be influenced, or are those kind of things a little bit slower to react because you have a large database?
I think you can see some of that influence. It depends on the player, and it depends on the timing of the event. Like, for example, you know, we saw last week the Bears announced Matt Forte would not be coming back, which that's something we kind of saw coming, but I guess it was made official last week. Well, our February drafts were already nearly complete, so you know, you might take a look at that ADP and expect Forte to be lower, Jeremy Langford to be higher in that data, and just unfortunately sometimes the timing doesn't make that possible, but I would expect those changes in March.
Okay, cool. Well, I just wanted to make that clear to myself and all the listeners. So very cool. Let's get this rolling.
All right. So here's what we're going to do tonight. We'll take a look at each of the four main positions: quarterback, running back, wide receiver, and tight end. And I just want to hear one guy that you two have pegged as, we'll start with overvalued. So one player that you think is overvalued based on the ADP data, and I think you guys have both had a chance to look at that. So we really want to compare those players within the positions. For example, we don't want to make a statement of Cam Newton is he's the quarterback one and he's just being taken too high. He's been being taken with this running back or near this receiver. So we're just, instead of that, we're going to compare the players within their own positions. So we will get started with quarterback, and we'll let our guest Jeff get us started. Jeff, who did you see as a quarterback that was being overvalued in our February drafts?
For me, and this I know people are going to hate, is Brady. And I say that only because I know Cousins is easier and some of the rookies are easier, but a guy that's 38, we don't know when the wall's coming. He tailed off a little bit down the season. Week 17, I know many didn't have their finals that week, but he had 6.7 fantasy points. Under 15 in week 16. I just wonder if he's going to be able to pull that out, you know, reward his owners.
Yeah, I think that's a good call. You know, Brady obviously had another great year overall, but as you mentioned, you know, he's 38 years old, and if you're building a brand new team in a dynasty startup, is that a guy you want to invest in? He was the quarterback 8 in our February data. Some of the other older quarterbacks, you know, Drew Brees was quarterback 11 several rounds later. Carson Palmer was quarterback 15. Again, several rounds later in the 170s was his ADP. So, yeah, just building around and spending almost a top 100 pick on Brady, I can see that him being a guy you would want to avoid. Matt, what do you think about Brady?
Yeah, it's funny because I looked at this list and there's a handful of things that really stood out to me, and one of them was Brady's your QB8 and Drew Brees is my quarterback 11. And to me, they should be right next to each other. I mean, all indications this last month or so is Brees is staying in New Orleans. I guess that's good. I mean, I think Sean Payton's coming back. Cooks is coming back. So I think his production is not going to go away. I think him and Brady are kind of the same guy, that you should lump them together much like Bortles and Carr are lumped together at 9 and 10. So that's my take on him. So I agree. I mean, Brady's a little higher than I think, or Brees is a little lower. Brady's a little higher, but I think they're basically the same guy, and they're not getting, you know, assessed that way. A couple other observations I made from this were the top four go Newton, Luck, Rodgers, Wilson, and their ages respectively are 26, 26, 32, 27. I love Aaron Rodgers, but one of these things doesn't quite belong, in my opinion. You know, I mean, as great as he is, and I'm the biggest fan ever. Anyone that's ever followed me knows I'm in love with this guy as a football player, but I think he has to be behind those other three just in terms of his age. And then the last thing, two of things I saw were, one guy stood out to me is overrated, and that's Teddy Bridgewater at 17. I think he's a limited passer. We've talked about him before on this show. I think he's Alex Smith. I mean, for better or worse, I don't see him as anything close to a Carr, Bortles, Winston, Mariota in terms of upside. I think he's always going to be a limited passer. I think they're always going to have to design the offense to massage the quarterback position to some degree. And then the one that really stands out to me, and I know he's not popular, nobody wants him on their dynasty team, but how's Jay Cutler number 28?
Matt, he's on my list for the next topic.
There we go. Okay.
Oh.
I go off script, Jeff. I apologize, but hey, I get on a roll.
Oh, it's all right. Hey, Matt, the part that gets to me is you talked about Brady versus Brees. How about Brady versus Palmer, who's 15?
Yeah, good point.
Jeff, you mentioned Cousins might be the easy guy to peg as being overrated, overdrafted, overvalued, however you want to phrase that. But I guess I took the easy way out. He's the quarterback 13 in our February data. He obviously had a great year, you know, a major surprise to all of us. I don't think anybody with the drama in Washington with Robert Griffin III, and then they went to Cousins and benched RG3. I don't think any of us saw that coming. But now he's a free agent. It's safe to assume he'll be staying in Washington, either most likely through the franchise tag. But there's clearly some hesitancy to sign him to a long-term deal. I've seen rumors that Pierre Garçon could be cut. DeSean Jackson could be cut. They're certainly going to let go of Alfred Morris, who's a free agent. So that team could be very different next season. And, you know, and who's to say if where Cousins goes after that? So I just can't see investing, you know, in Cousins as the 13th quarterback off the board. He's, you know, he's ahead of Phillip Rivers. He's ahead of Palmer that you guys mentioned. He's ahead of Matt Ryan. So I guess I'm really surprised that he ended up that high in our February data.
Ryan, can I piggyback off that real quick?
Absolutely.
I think this team absolutely wants – they didn't show at the end of the year, but for them to be successful, they know who their quarterback is. They go out and spend big money on offensive linemen, offensive line coach, Bill Callahan. They want to run the football, and like I said about Teddy Bridgewater, massage the quarterback position. They got away without doing that at the end of the year, but I think that's uncharacteristic. And something we said, I think, last podcast was if we talked again in November – I don't think it would blow any of us away, or December, hey, Kirk Cousins lost his starting job. I mean, that's not going to happen to Matthew Stafford, Ryan Tannehill, Tony Romo, Eli Manning, guys that are picked well after him.
Yeah, exactly. You know, RG3 is definitely gone. They'll be adding another quarterback, you know, most likely through the draft, maybe through free agency. We'll see. But, yeah, I agree. You know, I don't consider him a safe pick as the 13th quarterback off the board.
Now, hey, Ryan, can I chime in?
Sure.
What was interesting to me is on Cousins, I meant that as no cheap shot at you at all. To me,
that's all right.
Bortles and Carr have as much flaws also, but they're younger, so we give them a pass. What's interesting is the mock draft 3, which is the one that buoyed the Cousins ADP. He was drafted only – get this, I don't want to say it slowly, it's 11 spots after Roethlisberger.
Ouch.
Yeah, that's what happens with, you know, with these mocks. We do have, we run 6 of them, which over the years I found is, gives us enough volume to, I guess, hide picks like that, that, you know, we...
Right.
That some people might call a bad pick, a reach. So, you know, maybe Cousins' value is actually more in the 170s instead of the 160 area where his current ADP is.
Yeah, that's all I was trying to say is I was trying to give you the benefit of doubt there that just that one person took him high. But how do you guys
looking at that real quick, Jeff? Just you made a great point there, but that must have been one of those weird drafts because. In the first 127 picks, it looks like 12 quarterbacks went. So there was some sort of a run. You know, they started just going quicker for whatever reason in that particular draft, which could happen in any. I mean, that's not how I think any of us play Dynasty, but it sort of explains it away a little bit.
Right. I just meant, though, it would normally be a little higher.
You're right.
I felt desperate. But to me, those young guys, Carr and Bortles, it's going to be interesting to watch in Dynasty drafts because some people either love them or they fade, right? I know Matt likes one of those two a lot, don't you?
I like all of them. I mean, I like Winston. I like Mariota. I like Bortles. I like Carr for the real world especially and for fantasy. For Dynasty, I don't like investing in quarterbacks, but I believe in these two four players.
Well, the great thing is even, you know, most of those guys, even though they're young, they're, you know, being valued as quarterback ones, they're still only probably going to cost you a second round rookie pick. That's just where the quarterback market is right now. And I think you guys both made an interesting point on the one draft where quarterbacks were coming off the board so much earlier. I mean, Derek Carr was drafted about 20 spots higher than his ADP. Drew Brees was drafted 35 spots higher than his ADP. So that was that trend just in that draft. Again, for whatever reason, it's tough to say, somebody forced a run. Maybe that just happened to be that group. But I think that goes, or that shows the importance of really kind of being in touch with your league and knowing and being able to see what is happening and how your league mates are valuing players. You know, you can't just pull up that ADP, whether it's through DLF or any site, and expect to be able to get that player at that spot just because ADP says so. So every draft is different, every league is different, and you have to do the best you can to know your opponents and to be able to analyze what's happening in that draft.
Because if that's an elite draft either of us are in, Ryan, and I'm sure, Matt, you're the same way, I'm happy when those runs go on.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm happy having a Tony Romo, Eli Manning combination and then pick up a rookie, right? Get those guys around pick 200 and then get somebody else.
I mean, and you do the math, that means you get an extra receiver or running back that anybody doesn't have.
Right. Isn't that you, Ryan, as well?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, that's a good segue. Both Romo and Eli Manning were actually my picks for the undervalued side, so we'll move right to that side of things with the quarterback conversation. So Tony Romo was quarterback 23 in our February data, being drafted outside of the top 200. Eli Manning was quarterback 24, being drafted on average right behind Romo at 200 with an ADP of 204. So, I mean, we know Romo had his injury issues last season. But Eli Manning, quarterback 24 in ADP, he was quarterback 10 last season in fantasy. So, you know, we know he has the stud receiver in Beckham. Of course, Romo has Dez Bryant still. You know, if I'm getting those guys outside of the top 200, like Jeff, like you just said, give me those two guys and let me focus on running backs and wide receivers especially, for, you know, for my first 15 or 16 picks.
I'm an old QB guy.
Yeah, the age, both of those guys I think are 35 years old. They're not going to anchor your dynasty team for the next 10 years like Carr or Luck or Newton might, but with as cheap as quarterbacks are, I don't think you have to worry about that too much. You know, give me one of those guys, and then in a couple of years I'll trade for Matt Ryan or Matt Stafford when they're quote-unquote old.
Hey, Ryan, can I pick up on something that they're just – Matt, forgive me on this rabbit trail. The discrepancy you brought up earlier, Ryan, and I think rightly so, that you can get a quarterback with a second-round rookie pick, right?
So.
Why would we invest in the Wentz's, Goff's, whomever with a first-round rookie pick if we could wait it out? Plus, knowing that I'm just picking on Romo. If Romo is pick 200, pick 200 is worth a lot less than a second-round rookie pick. I mean, there's a delta there that somebody could take advantage of.
Yeah, absolutely. I do think, you know, it seems like for years that whoever the quarterback one was ended up being a late first-round pick in most drafts. You know, Luck went a little higher.
RG3 probably went high that year, too.
Yeah, RG3 went high. But, you know, even last year, Winston and Mariota were second-round picks in most of my drafts, if I'm remembering correctly. So I think that's kind of correcting itself. I've said before on here and on Twitter, I mean, guys like Goff and Carson Wentz this year, I'm not sure. I think you can maybe get those guys in the third round of rookie drafts.
I think you might be right when it's all said and done. And just we should probably wrap up the quarterbacks here pretty soon. But if you look at it this way, like every 3 or 4 years, I'm going to send my second round pick for Rivers, Romo, Eli, somebody you know is a good NFL quarterback that's not going to get benched, not going to kill you starting him every week. And then you're going to mine the waiver wire for Cousins, Tyrod Taylor every year, you'll be fine.
Yeah, exactly. Jeff, before we wrap this up, who did you have as your undervalued quarterback?
I had two, and they. I know you said one, Jay Cutler, sitting down at quarterback 28, getting Kevin White, you know, I look at their receiver position was a mess this year, plus losing Forte. And the one that I don't like this guy as a quarterback, but Ryan Tannehill getting Adam Gase I like.
Yeah, Tannehill, you know, we talked about this when Bloom was on. You know, Teddy Bridgewater and Tannehill were the popular guys last year. They were the young guys who were expected to make that next step into, you know, stardom and just being dynasty superstars. They were quarterbacks 5 and 6 last offseason. So Bridgewater is now quarterback 17. Tannehill's quarterback 19. So things can change quickly. Let's move over now to the running backs, though. And Matt, we'll start with you this time. Who did you see as a running back that's maybe being overvalued or overdrafted?
There's two I'm going to mention, and there's one I promised Twitter what we would get into. Lamar Miller, running back 6? No thanks. He's just too uncertain. Where is he going to land? He's never been a bell cow. I just don't trust him. Eddie Lacy at running back 9, too. I mean, at his best, yes, but boy, he's put some bad tape out there, and I think they're not going to be thrilled just going with him. They're going to do something else there. But the one that really stands out for me is not that – I'm just not a fan, and I'm not saying this is super low for him or super high for him, but Latavius Murray to me is not an NFL starting running back. I very much believe the Raiders, especially because they have more money than they can spend, they're going to have a surplus of assets. I think they're going to bring in somebody that's going to beat him out, and he'll be a backup this year. And we can get into that because a lot of people disagree with me.
Yeah, I think all those are interesting calls. So for the first time this year, we're including standard deviation along with our ADP data. And Eddie Lacy had one of the highest numbers there. You know, he was falling to the 5th and 6th round of some drafts, and some people are still taking him in the mid-3rd of some of theirs. So that just shows where his value is at. Basically, it's all over the board. You know, some people are still believing in that name value. He was running back 2 in Dynasty last offseason before before Todd Gurley burst on the scene. But I agree, you know, at quarterback 9, he's just not a guy I want on my team at all. There's probably a dozen guys below him that I would rather have.
Oh yeah.
I had Lamar Miller and Lacy also. Yeldon as well. Stood out to me.
Yeldon, I disagree with you on.
I'm happy to have that conversation. I just don't know if his upside's running back 7. That's the only thing I question.
See, to me, he's probably – I didn't account for the rookies, and he's my running back 5. I like Johnson and Bell and Gurley clearly better. I guess I like Freeman better, but I don't trust Freeman to be the man forever. I trust Yeldon to be the man, and that's basically all it is I think he's a B-plus talent, not great. I mean, he's not Gurley, but I think he's built for the long haul, every down back, ascending offense. Running backs in this neighborhood aren't real attractive to me anyways, so he kind of rose by default for me. I'm a believer.
So would you give a first-round rookie pick for him?
I would give up anything – I wouldn't give up 1 or 2, but I'd give up 1-3 for Yeldon right now in a heartbeat.
I think I probably would as well. I feel like I'm kind of in the middle of the conversation on Yeldon. I'm not super high.
Take a stand, McDowell. Come on.
I know. One thing I look at, though, are especially with running backs, is basically is that an offense I want a piece of? You know, do I want a piece of that Jacksonville offense and – you know, they're traditionally cellar dwellers and just the doormat of the NFL. But yeah, they're on the rise. I mean, that offense has the potential to be a high octane offense, and that's more goal line touches for Yeldon. I don't see anybody behind him, you know, Denard Robinson or any of those guys threatening him. I think he's a pretty safe bet at running back 7.
And like I said about the Raiders, and you can kind of say this about these teams every year, they have a ton of money to spend in cap. They're going to get better. you know, but at least these teams now have quarterbacks. And the thing I'd like about, I really can put on the Yeldon resume or buy low is there's no way he's only going to score two touchdowns again.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Agree.
On the Latavius Murray call, I've seen more than one mock draft, and, you know, take that for what it's worth, but I've seen more than one mock draft with the Raiders taking Ezekiel Elliott in the first round. So, you know, that would, you know, some of these guys, and not just the running back 20 or the running back 30, but some of these guys in the top 10 are going to have their value squashed on draft day. You know, we saw it with Trey Mason last year. People are taking him in the third and fourth round of startup drafts this time of year. And, of course, by April and May, they had Todd Gurley, and Mason was, you know, roster fodder, basically.
Well, plus, Ryan, Miller and Doug Martin are free agents.
Yeah, exactly. There's just so much up in the air. For a while, it looked like both would be staying in Florida with their teams. Now there's it's kind of swung the other way where there's, you know, rumors and reports that they'll be leaving. The question is, who's going to give them a big contract? Who's going to give any running back a big contract? I don't know.
Oakland.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. I mean, maybe. They have to get their money. I mean, I think Martin goes back to Tampa Bay. It wouldn't blow me away at all if Elliott or Miller ended up in Oakland.
So the guy I pegged as overvalued is Carlos Hyde. He's the running back 13. He had.
I'm going to fight with you, too. He's one of my undervalued.
He had these injury issues last year. You know, in the end, he just hasn't done much on the field. And I mentioned the Jaguars as an offense that I want pieces from, you know, however I can get them. The 49ers, I mean, that's a team clearly that looks like a team to avoid when it comes to fantasy. I don't know, Matt, you had him as one of your undervalued. What do you see?
Well, I agree. I think they have the worst roster in the league. I very much agree with you that I want zero to do with their offense. Those aren't exactly feathers in Hyde's cap, obviously. But I really like the player. I mean, I think he's a much undervalued, underappreciated talent who I think he catches 30, 40 balls a year for his career. He's a better receiver than people realize. I don't like his situation, like I mentioned, but there's very little competition. And I think Chip Kelly helps him a lot. I mean, they run the football, and they run it quite well. And Hyde did his best work out of a option spread system at Ohio State. So I think this helps him dramatically. I thought he was a little undervalued even before the Kelly hiring because of the injuries and because of the team he's on. But this also goes back to being, you know, like I mentioned with Yeldon, this number, you know, 6 through 12 and running back ranks are all kind of blah, you know, that I wouldn't pay the price and startup probably for any of them. But I'd rather have Hyde than Ingram, Peterson, Rawls, Lacy, Martin. And Miller.
Wow, okay.
I mean, there's some arguments there. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, I mean, Hyde, at that point, probably just a guy I would pass on. Players just below him, Derrick Henry, Jamal Charles, Melvin Gordon. I guess with some of those guys, I either see more upside or just a safer player in general.
If you went one spot further, though, C.J. Anderson's somebody I like. I mean, I think you can make the argument that Anderson's better than all those guys. Because I don't know that he will have competition. They have so many other needs. You know, they're going to have to sign Miller. They're going to have to rebuild an offensive line. I mean, you know, Ezekiel Elliott's not going to end up in Denver. Lamar Miller's not going to end up in Denver.
Right, right. Well, let's talk about guys on the other end of the spectrum, guys that are undervalued. Besides Carlos Hyde, we heard yours, Matt. Jeff, who did you have as being undervalued at the running back position?
Carlos Williams, especially with all the junk going on with Shady McCoy. And it's kind of interesting that Carlos Williams is already getting drafted ahead of McCoy. And the other guy I like, and I'm out on a limb, I know Ryan likes him, maybe not as much as I do, is Duke Johnson. I like both those guys. You know, where that is, running back 25 and 26, below Latavius Murray and some other guys that, you know, I don't think showed as much. Even Jeremy Langford, that's 6-7 spots ahead.
Jeff, it's funny you mentioned these guys because My overvalued guys were Yeldon, Hyde, and Anderson, who I all talked about. And then Deion Lewis, who we can talk about on the side. But then there was that group of four rookies last year. Abdullah, 24, Williams at 25, Duke at 26, Matt Jones at 27. And I look at all those guys and think they may lead their league and their team in touches. They all showed they can at least play in this league, you know, more so than like a Melvin Gordon. To me, they all had successful rookie seasons, but didn't blow your doors off. I like all those guys at that price.
And guys like that in that range, you know, overall their ADP is in the 80s. So that, you know, that just tells me again to invest in wide receivers early on. If I'm going into a startup draft and I feel like I can get one or two of those guys in the 6th, 7th, 8th round, then I'm probably, again, taking like 5 wide receivers to start my draft.
I love it, yeah.
All right, let's move over to the wide receiver conversation. The overvalued wide receiver. Jeff, who are you pegging there?
Devontae Parker. And okay. I see that middle of the second round of a startup, right?
Yep. His ADP overall is 18.6. So 18, 19. He's the 15th wide receiver off the board overall. And that's too high for you, Jeff?
Yes, I know that when we scan the guys below it, it looks like he might be the best of those that group. You know, the Martavis, Randall Cobb, even though both those guys have backers, T.Y. Hilton, Josh Gordon, Jarvis Landry. But I look at it the other way. Just a few picks before him is Keenan Allen, a guy that I love that will be on my undervalued. And so I just look at I'd rather pay Parker plus than for Keenan Allen than have Parker, who's had foot problems at Louisville, foot problems at Miami, and those two guys are the same age.
So that's a good way to look at it. If you've got that mid-second round pick and you're projecting Parker to maybe be a guy that might be there for you, if you really prefer Allen, and I think most people do, there's not much of a difference in their ADP or where they fall on this list, but I think Allen would be the preference of most of us. You know, then that's when you look at trading up, or if we're talking about an existing league, you're trying to package Parker, who's a hot name. You know, I've seen him being traded. We've all seen him being traded for, you know, in some big deals for the 1.01, for, you know, AJ Green, Demaryius Thomas, and some of these veterans that have been so solid in the past few years. So he's definitely carrying some value. Jeff, you kind of alluded to it, and I think that's probably the case. You know, everybody knows the trend is to build around wide receivers, especially young wide receivers. You get to the middle of the second, and Allen and Jeffrey and Sammy and Cooks, those guys are all gone, and you just grab that next young wide receiver, Devontae Parker. He ended the season on a high note, and that has boosted his value. I really like Parker, but I agree, he's being overdrafted right now.
Yeah, I agree, and I think Jeff had a great point here. When you're looking at this list, and unfortunately our listeners are not looking at this list, but they're going to get the idea of it, and they can go to DLF and check it out. But he's at 16, or he's at 15, and I think he's the first one in the next tier. You know, like the first 14 to me, I'd clearly rather have than Parker, where 15 all the way down to like 26, the Moncrief, Benjamin, Doral Green, Beckham neighborhood, even Kevin, I'd rather have Kevin White, I think, than Parker. He's much closer to all those guys Jeff mentioned, the next 10, the next 12, than he is the first 12 or so.
Well, it's funny you mentioned Kevin White. That's actually who I pegged as my receiver who's being overvalued. He is the wide receiver 22. He has yet to step on the field. He had this, you know, mysterious lower leg injury that cost him his entire rookie season last year. He's older than, you know, than NFL.com seems to think.
What's the deal with that, by the way? Is he not really 22? Is he like one of these Puerto Rican pitchers that you pick up that nobody can figure out how old he is?
Well, I'm not sure where the discrepancy came from, but yeah.
I know he was a JC guy, and sometimes records get screwed up, you know, when you don't go right to the major school coming out of high school.
Right. At one point in the process, two different dates came out, and what finally, I guess, solidified it for us Dynasty nerds on Twitter is last year on his birthday, and I don't remember his exact birth date, but last year on his birthday, the Chicago Bears Twitter page wished him a happy, I think they said 22nd birthday, and his girlfriend actually responded to that tweet and just said 23rd or 23. So, you know, that gave a little clarity to the situation. If anybody knows, it would certainly be her. So
anybody out there, yeah,
right? Nobody. Nobody second guessed that, I guess. So, yeah, he is 23, soon to be 24, I guess, on his next birthday. And he was a bit of a one-year wonder in college. You know, he had that awesome year for West Virginia, but you mentioned he went to junior college before that and obviously had some success at that level. But, yeah, wide receiver 22, not a guy I'm going to take a shot on.
I would give you 1.4 or 1.5 for him in a heartbeat.
I think that's probably fair. I mean, if you're looking at those picks, 1.4, 1.5, those are likely to be wide receivers, and the guys in that range, Tyler Boyd, Josh Dotson, they're well down this list. Michael Thomas, you know, they're in the 50-60. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that would be fair. I would probably give those picks as well, even though, you know, I have some clear concerns about White.
Yeah, I'd probably give 1.3 actually.
Yeah, that would be the push for me. I'm not sure I would be able to do that.
The two things that can I interject?
Yeah,
the two
please.
Things I would say is that means White lost zero value for being off for a whole year.
Which I'm okay with.
I understand, but I'm just, you know, sometimes we, you know, he was injured, he's older, all this other stuff. But the second part, and this is the part I hesitate on, is that do we say that now, but by the time we have rookie drafts, I think that that'll flip and that 1.3 will be worth more, possibly the 1.4, as the rookie, we get past the combine. Ryan and I have lived these hype cycles, and you too, Matt, for a long time. You know, it goes up May, June, and those guys I think will be worth more.
Yeah, you know, we've talked about that on the show a couple times. Like, what if Henry is Dallas's second-round pick? You know, everyone in the world will be like, oh, I got to get him. He's going to score a million touchdown. Or what if next week Tyler Boyd, who everyone doesn't think is going to run great, he runs a 4.45? You know, all of a sudden the hype train is going to go crazy. So you're right. I mean, two weeks from now, this conversation is going to be a lot different.
All right, Jeff, did you have anyone else you want to mention at wide receiver?
I just had Keenan Allen as my guy, just because he's a top five, top six guy when he's healthy. He and Devontae Parker are the same age, and so that kind of pushes my other point. It's just the same.
Yeah, so we'll move over to the undervalued guys. Jeff mentioned Allen. I am kind of surprised. I think it's a fine spot for him. He's the wide receiver 12, and when he was on the field last year, he was just amazing. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but he had to be a top three or four wide receiver before that injury. And so even with that injury, he maintained that value, maybe even gained some value. And he's now the wide receiver 12, an ADP of 14 overall, so that early part of the second round. And, you know, like Jeff said, maybe he even climbs from there. Matt, what about you and undervalued wide receiver?
I had two overvalued, too. It was nice you to skip me. It's all right. I'll get over it. But I talk about this guy all the time, and I crush him. I own him nowhere. I don't hate him, but I just think he's very overvalued. Jordan Matthews, I know he had good numbers at the combine. I don't think he plays like a great athlete. I don't think he's a number one for Philly. I've talked about him enough on the show. The other one, and I don't feel super strongly about it, but Allen Hurns at 41 to me, I also think he's kind of just a guy. You know, that some of these guys that are a lot more talented are going to go past him on this list in the next year or two. And then there's a few that I thought were undervalued, or that, not necessarily undervalued, but for this price, I'm certainly a buyer on. Rashad Perriman, Golden Tate, and maybe that's a little bit artificial. I'm not sure if that happened with Calvin Johnson, you know, some people thinking he was still on the team or not. But without him on the team, I think Tate's a little low. DeSean Jackson at 57, I got no problem with him there. I mean, I'll take him there. And I haven't thrown Devontae Adams off the boat yet either. Wide receiver 61, I'll take a chance on him.
Yeah, I'm still hanging on to the Adams hope as well. His ADP maybe would have been even higher if it wasn't for me in there drafting him a couple times. Jeff mentioned his expectation of those rookies gaining value, and that's exactly what I see with Laquon Treadwell. He's my pick as being undervalued. He's the wide receiver 21. Typically what you'll see in these startup drafts that include rookies, the first rookie will come off the board in the second round, and sometimes even the first two rookies in the second round. So Treadwell didn't quite make it. His ADP was 27 for February. I think by the time we're doing June and July startup drafts, he's gained, you know, maybe 5 to 10 spots. I wouldn't be surprised at all if this draft process goes well for him, if he's a mid second rounder.
So Mac, you mentioned Matthews. Are you an Aguilar guy?
Not really. I would put, if I had to say, is Aguilar underrated or overrated as it stands right now, I would say he's underrated. But a year ago, I wasn't a buyer. I mean, I didn't use any rookie picks on him, despite having a wealth of rookie picks. But part of that's because I liked guys like Perriman and Parker and trying to think who else, but a lot more at the time, too. And there's a little bit of the same argument both those guys. I just don't see super high ceilings for either one.
Gotcha. Thank you.
All right, let's move over to the tight ends. And I'll get us started on the overvalued side. I think Jeff might agree with me on this. I chose Jordan Reed as my overvalued tight end.
I did too.
He's
me
currently,
too.
Okay. We'll just sit around and sing Kumbaya then. So Jordan Reed is the tight end 3. His ADP is 50, which on its own seems pretty reasonable. My argument with this is he's being drafted about half a round ahead of Travis Kelce. He's being drafted a full round ahead of Greg Olsen. And let's see, almost 3 rounds ahead of guys like Zach Ertz. So Jordan Reed had a great year, finished on a hot streak, and was just, you know, putting up crazy numbers with Cousins throwing him the ball. But there is that injury concern. He's had multiple concussions. You know, the next concussion he has could end his career. That's how desperate this situation is. So I don't mind having Reed in that second tier of tight ends behind Gronkowski. I just don't think he should be near the top of the tier. And my thinking is, and again, I've mentioned this on Twitter as well, if you have a guy like that who has that clear risk, and Reed has that clear injury risk, he needs to be at the bottom of the tier. When you're ranking a tier of players, you're basically saying, I value all of these guys about the same. So if we're valuing Eifert and Reed and Kelce and Olsen all about the same, and Eifert actually with an ADP of 37, maybe creating his own second tier. But if we're putting those 4 guys in the same tier, then Reed should be at the bottom of the tier, in my opinion.
I 100% agree. I think we all agree, obviously. If we had been doing this show a year ago, I could really pat myself on my back because I was a huge Jordan Reed buyer a year ago. I'm in 5 dynasty leagues. I owned him in all 5 dynasty leagues this year. But he's not worth this. I mean, like you said, I just think his stock has gone up too much. I don't think any of us are going to disagree. 2 guys at tight end 7 and 8 that I understand why they're there, but I just don't trust them, are Safarian Jenkins and Ebron.
Those are actually 2 guys I kind of like. I don't know that I would say they're either overvalued or undervalued. They're both near the bottom of that top 100 overall. You know, they're obviously still young. They haven't haven't really proven anything. They both had some big games. You know, do you want to go into 2016 with either of those guys as your tight end one?
No.
Probably not. But, you know, maybe you grab one of those guys and then you get one of these veterans, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, even Antonio Gates in ADP outside of the top 200. We saw this week he's likely to stay in San Diego. So, you know, maybe you grab your I like to think of it sometimes as grabbing my backup players first, which sounds crazy. But you grab that young guy with upside early on because that's how those players are valued. And then you get your starter. You know, maybe it's Gates. We were talking about the quarterbacks. Maybe it's Romo or whoever. You grab those guys late in the draft.
Jeff, I want you to chime in on Reed if you want, but especially ASJ and Ebron. But I want to make one quick point. For what they cost, I would rather have Walford as the tight end 13 than paying the tight end 7 or 8 price for Safarian Jenkins and Ebron. I see the equal upside. I love his situation. I'm buying Walford left and right.
He's on – Matt, Ryan, I sent my list. Ryan – all right. I want to – can I kick it back to you, Ryan, and then pull it back? Because I think we need – I have Reed on this list too, but I think we need to be as harsh on Eifert as we are on Reed with injuries. Do you all disagree with that?
No, that's probably fair. And like I mentioned, his ADP of 37 has him early in the fourth round where some of those other guys are in the 50s or 60s. Even guys like Delanie Walker outside of the top 100, Gary Barnage outside of the top 100. Yeah, it's just hard to invest in any of those tight ends in that second tier. Greg Olsen is safe, but he's also the oldest of the bunch.
Two Eifert notes, though. They could be losing their second and third best wide receivers, the Bengals. And on the opposite side, there's no way he's going to catch the same amount of touchdowns. I mean, he's going to have touchdown regression in a big way. I mean, the Mike Clay touchdown regression, he's the poster child.
Hey, Matt, yeah. They also lost Hugh Jackson, right?
They did, yeah. I don't know if that's going to kill them or not, but I think Eifert's targets go up, but his tight ends or his touchdowns go down, which is weird.
But I just looked at him as being, or am I sure I want to put that high of a pick on him? Now, on Clyde, yeah. Matt, I know I don't expect you and I have never met before this, but I know Ryan can back me up on this. Ryan and I are in a Devy league together, and I pulled Clive out before senior year of college at Miami, right when he had Clive Jr. and was getting his life back together. And Clive's my buy. I love Clive. The other guy that I really like is Zach Miller down at tight end 31, just because with the thoughts of him starting and Martellus out at Chicago, tight end 31 seems like a steal for Zach Miller.
Yeah, I like that a lot. Hey, okay, Jeff, I got to run one thing by you then. I gave up just 2 days ago, total rebuild. My tight ends are garbage. I got a ton of picks. I gave up 202 for Clive and a 17 third. Win or lose?
Win. Win if you – the only reason I say that is I think that top of the second is either a shoot player – trade back for a guy that disappointed last year, like Dorsett, right? You could probably get Dorsett or one of those guys for that pick. Or you try to address it for a guy that you believe in. And if you believe in Clive, the 202 is cheap.
Yeah, I thought so too. And I pick up a third and 17. I want every 17 pick I can get.
Yeah, I like that deal for you as well, Matt. Yeah, on Clive Walford, you know, in these Devy leagues, if you're in one of those, if you're not, basically Devy means developmental. It gives you the chance to draft college players before they even get to the NFL. So we'll talk a lot about rookie drafts, but Devy drafts, you're drafting current college players, you know, Leonard Fournette, Nick Chubb, Juju Smith. Those are some of the top Devy players available right now. And Jeff and I have a lot of conversations helping each other prepare for rookie drafts and Devy drafts, and he was really digging deep with this Clive Walford, Miami tight end that I had never heard of a couple years ago. And, you know, that's like so many of his calls, that one's looking like a good one right now. He's tight end 13. He's only 24 years old. You know, they had the Michael Rivera kid who had played pretty well for as a rookie as well the previous season. And Wolford just came in and, you know, there was a little bit of a split there, but he earned his share of the pie pretty quickly.
Rookie tight ends do nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, he exceeded expectations, and I had high expectations.
So let me ask you guys this. I think I know the answer, but I'll throw it out there. Clive is tight end 13. Jimmy Graham is tight end 12. Obviously carries some big name value. If you have Jimmy Graham on your team, are you flipping him for Clive Wolford? Matt, what do you think?
Ryan, you've been a part of like a dozen tweets asking from people, what do I do with Jimmy Graham? Who should I do? Should I buy him? Should I sell him? And I've intentionally ignored them all because I don't want to answer that question. So I get enough tweets that I can get away with that. I'm like, oh, I didn't see it. Sorry. I don't know. I mean, I'm not a doctor because I still think if he was 100% and or the day before he got hurt in Seattle, I still considered him a buy. I was still on board. I think he's a special player when right because his stock had dropped a lot since he went to Seattle. Now it's, you know, he's tight end 12, and, you know, you could get him for super cheap, but he's a 29-year-old coming off a Victor Cruz disabling injury. I don't know how you could buy him, you know, I mean, unless you get him as a throw-in. So I would definitely rather have Wolford, but I don't think if I have Graham, I'm just dumping him for a random, you know, for 3-6 or something.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I don't think you're getting much more than 3-6 for right. Jimmy Graham. And despite what the ADP tells us, I don't think you can sell Graham for Wolford. There's a group of young tight ends there, starting with Wolford at 13, Ladarius Green at 14, Max Williams at 15, and the rookie Hunter Henry at 16. I would prefer any of that group over Jimmy Graham. Jeff, what do you think?
I'm tied on this. And Ryan, I'm not even going to tell you which owner this is, but there's this kind of owner in every one of our leagues. He offered me Jimmy Graham for a first-round pick plus. And, of course, yesterday.
Love
Ryan, me. I'm going to let you think about it and guess who it is.
Yeah,
and I laughed at it.
There's a few options.
Yeah. But the prop, Matt, you brought up a great
and
point
it
about
tells you you're buying low on him. Get him now while he's cheap. Only a first round pick.
But think about it. Graham's going to be 30 years old by the time he's healthy. And why even invest in that? If you're going to invest in that, pay more at that age and get Olsen or somebody or Delanie Walker, who's probably similarly priced. I think Clive is going old school baseball, the Mendoza line right there, because Jimmy Graham, Barnage, Julius Thomas. I'd rather have Clive than those guys. You guys disagree?
Julius Thomas is one of my undervalued, so no, but the rest of it I agree. Easily.
Yeah, I just
and over all runs ASJ.
Yeah. I'm with you there.
Matt, why don't you go ahead and talk about Julius Thomas as your undervalued tight end?
It goes back to the Yeldon argument that I'm buying on Jacksonville's offense. I mentioned I don't love Hearns. I think Thomas, I know he's been touchdown dependent, but I also think that's his genre. I mean, that's what he's good at. They're going to throw him the ball, you know, in the end zone a lot. Denver did as well. I think he played injured for much of his early season. I think he's a very talented player. I think he's more of a tight end 6-ish than tight end 10. And the other guy I think is really undervalued on here, but it's not like I love him. Charles Clay at tight end 26. I mean, I'll take him over Will Tye, who's going six guys ahead of him.
Charles Clay. I'm a Charles Clay fan when he came out. You go back and look at his tape and his numbers when he was playing at Tulsa. He had 1,000-yard seasons. Not very many tight ends.
He was a fullback and handed him the ball once in a while. And he was kind of a multifaceted guy.
But will Buffalo use him enough for him to even be worth rostering?
No. I mean, I wouldn't pursue him, but I'm shocked he's this low on the list.
Gotcha.
You agree with me on Julius? I guess not.
I just don't like that price. I mean, I'd rather wait a round and a half or whatever and get Clive or one of those other guys, even Martellus, several rounds later.
So the guy I had pegged as undervalued is Max Williams. He's the tight end 15. His ADP is 140 overall, so easily outside of that top 10 rounds. I kind of see a Tyler Eifert path with him, hopefully without the season-ending injury in the second season. But, you know, Eifert came out. He was drafted by Cincinnati, who already had Jermaine Gresham. So there was a little bit of concern there. But Eifert was a first-round rookie pick, a high first-round rookie pick in some of my drafts. I remember him going at 1.03 and being shocked. But so he was a guy that people had high expectations for. He didn't do a whole lot during his rookie season. He had some flashes. And then, of course, the beginning of his second season, he suffered that elbow injury that took him out. And we know how this past season went for Eifert. I kind of see some similarities, though, just in their situation. Eifert, I think, has flourished because he's basically the second receiver on that team. And I think Max Williams will be in the same situation. He's only 21 years old. You can get him in the 12th or 13th round of rookie drafts. I'm sorry, of startup drafts. That's an easy pick, in my opinion.
Jeff, what do you think on it? I have some thoughts, too, after you're done.
I like Max. And also, that Ravens offense, I expect to turn over a lot this draft and next. I mean, the Ravens don't invest in free agents, so we have to think it's going to be through the draft, right? And so I think this draft and next, they're going to address their skill positions. They have to. Older running backs, older receivers. I'm interested to see how that plays out, but I am a big Max fan. I had him last year. I like his athleticism, especially, you know, around pick 140. He's great to have as a tight end, too. So to Ryan's point earlier, having Antonio Gates and Max Williams as your two tight ends, no problem at all. Right, Ryan?
Absolutely. And you're not spending a pick on the top 10 or 12 rounds. So, again, easy pick in my opinion. Matt, what do you think about Max Williams?
There's two things I slightly disagree with you guys on. I think Eifert, and you didn't say he is Tyler Eifert. I think Eifert's clearly more gifted. I mean, I think he's a more talented field stretcher, a little taller, a little more athletic. And I don't think Baltimore is going to drastically change their skill position players as much as a lot of people think. I mean, just watching Ozzie Newsome over the years, I bet that sixth overall pick is the best defensive player available, and I bet the next one in the second round is the best defensive player available. You know, at any position, let's rebuild the defense. We can live with these running backs. We have Steve Smith. Perryman comes back. Aiken looked okay. We like our young tight ends. We can live with these skill guys for one more year, but I bet Ozzie can't live with that defense, just knowing who he is. But I also know that Ozzie, I know for a fact, that organization adores Max Williams, and more so than they've let on. People sort of on the inside have told me they love this guy, and they should. And another feather in his cap is when they get that near the goal line, those receivers I mentioned aren't going to be the primary guys. It's going to be Williams.
So, Matt, you mentioned that Steve Smith will be back. Is that certain? I haven't seen that.
I thought so. Maybe I'm wrong on that. I mean, didn't we hear that a month or so ago, that he's not hanging it up and he's going to do one more year? Or did I dream that?
No, I think that's correct. I think he announced that he was coming back for one more season. Kind of what we expected after that injury, I guess. I think Williams' production, especially in that his second year coming up, depends a lot on what Perryman can do, and that's another unknown. He had the injury that kept him out all season. So we just don't know if he's going to be able to adjust and be a starter for the Ravens. All right, well, that's some good conversation on some overvalued and undervalued players in Dynasty. Let's wrap up tonight with looking at a couple of Dynasty trades. I'm wearing my Kentucky shirt, my Kentucky hat, so let's talk about Randall Cobb, my favorite receiver in the league. I've got a couple of Randall Cobb trades for you, and we'll see what you guys think about these. You probably already know my opinion. So the first one is a Randall Cobb buyer. He gave Eric Decker and the 2.02 pick, and he got Cobb. Jeff, what do you think about that one?
Oh, I think that's a steal, even though knowing Ryan's affinity for Cobb, I should have snuck him in on my overvalued wide receivers. But, the 2-2, just like we talked about it with Clive, right? I mean, it's the same conversation. The 2-2 is a steal for any player you love because it's such an unknown. I mean, go look at, like, last year's 2-2s, Dorsett, J-A-J-I, J-J-E, how you pronounce his last name. It's all guys with very big question marks. If there's somebody you love that's proven, he's always worth the two, that early second round.
So you want Cobb?
I want Cobb in that. Even though, let me be very specific, I am not a Cobb fan. I'd rather have Jordy than Cobb, almost straight up, even with the age difference. But, I mean, did Cobb produce receiver one numbers for any big stretch last year?
I wish he did, but no. Yeah. No, I mean, he was, he's as big a fan as I am of Cobb, he's got to be viewed as one of the biggest disappointments of the past season, especially with, with the expectations after that Jordy injury. He just wasn't able to fill that wide receiver one role. Matt, what about you? Are you taking Cobb and giving Decker and the 2.02?
I guess I take Cobb, yeah, and Jeff brought up really good reasons. But Decker's not a slouch. I mean, I think Decker's a very good football player, and I don't think his production was fluky this year. I mean, I think they're going to throw the ball a lot. He's going to be on the field every down. So, I mean, he's not just a throw-in here. I mean, I think he's a very quality player that you start almost every week. So I think it's a little bit close. And Cobb's – I'm not a buyer on Cobb. I mean, I think that versus ADP. I mean, he would never end up on my team in a startup. He is unusually young. He's in a good situation despite what we saw last year, but I still take him in this, but I don't love him. I have a hunch you like him more than I do.
Yeah, maybe. All right, we've got one more Randall Cobb trade.
You're taking Cobb, right?
Hey, Ryan, the only thing I was going to throw in there is Decker. If anybody's a fan of Decker, the time to buy is the offseason when everybody forgets at his production. I mean, he goes for almost nothing in the offseason, right?
It really is crazy. Yeah, it really is crazy, some of these guys like Decker. I mean, he's a little bit older, I mean, he's older than this is not his second or third year in the league. He's been around just produces at such high level, especially this past season. And once that off season hits, people just give up on those guys or forget how productive they were. So, yeah, absolutely. Decker's a great guy to buy right now. His teammate Brandon Marshall's is another one.
And not to sound stereotypical, but I've been around this game a long time, and a lot of people will say, he really tries hard. He's not a great athlete. He knows how, he's a smart player. He's a pretty good athlete, too. He can get deep. I mean, don't undervalue what he is as in terms of his gifts.
Matt, you bring up that just because he's a white guy, right?
Exactly.
I remember, I don't know, there's a friend of mine, Bob Henry, a football guy, that mentioned this because I was high on Jordy when he came out because I saw Jordy turn the corner on Aqib Talib at KU playing K-State, and I was like, Jordy's a player because Talib was a great cornerback in college.
Jordy can fly.
Yeah, for a big dude. Sorry, Ryan.
No, that's fine. One more Randall Cobb trade before we wrap it up tonight. This guy traded Andrew Luck. This is I'm assuming this is a one quarterback league. He doesn't say otherwise. He traded Andrew Luck and he got Randall Cobb and a 2017 first rounder. Matt, what are you thinking on that one?
This one's really lopsided to me, and I don't even like Cobb. I just love that 2007 first, and if you can get that for any quarterback, yeah, sign me up. And I would make this deal, and then I'd put Cobb on my trading block and see what I could get.
You can get another 2017 first for sure.
Yeah, and maybe another. And something else. So if you could turn Luck into 2017 first and some young guy you like, that sounds like stealing to me.
Yeah, Luck's value is taking a hit. He was a first rounder in good portion of startup drafts last offseason. And now with his down year and just the continued drop in quarterback value overall, he's a third rounder. I agree. This is a lopsided trade. I think you can make a case for either Cobb or even the future first over Luck on their own. So to get both pieces together, easy trade in my opinion.
But I know we're running late, but to go back to about 50 minutes ago when we started talking about quarterbacks, I can make the argument Luck's my number one. I might rather have him than Newton or Wilson or Rodgers. I mean, I still think he is a superstar.
But to Ryan's counterpoint to that, you sell him for the first and then spend the second on Rivers.
And no doubt about it.
Yeah, and I think he's worth more than a random future first, even in that 2017 class that we already love so much.
Yeah,
totally agree.
Well, that will end our night. Thanks so much to our guest, Jeff Tiefertiller. Jeff, why don't you tell everybody where they can find your work?
Oh, I'm at Football Guys, and I'm on Twitter, Jeff Tiefertiller. You might have to look at one of these guys. Just check spelling on Tiefertiller. But always looking to talk football. Enjoy it. Play a lot of leagues. Stay active in the off season, especially all the value conversation. I always enjoy just trying to think how can we take advantage of all situations. And it's been a great time. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Oh, you're a great guest. Thank you.
Thanks for being with us, Jeff, and we'll see you all next time.